Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. We thank God for another wonderful time in His presence. Our God is good all the time. And all the time, our God is good. So we are going to continue with our study of God's Word, John chapter 6. And my prayer is that as we look into God's Word together, at the entrance of His Word will bring light and understanding to us in Jesus' name. All right, John 6 starts with the very famous, miracle of Jesus Christ, the feeding of the 5,000. And we've done that many times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But I just want to pick one or two more lessons that we can learn from that miracle. You know, the Bible says a great multitude. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up to the mountain, and there he sat with the disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing a great multitude coming towards him. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that we may eat?" You might be wondering, why is Jesus asking Philip that kind of question? I mean, there's a massive multitude. I am not the miracle worker. Why are you asking me what I'm going to give to these people? You know, but this is what Jesus does to see if we have faith. The same question was asked from people like Moses. When Jesus asked Moses, he said, "What is in your hands?" You know, Jesus asked Ezekiel, he said, "Can these bones live again?" You know, these are questions that Jesus usually would ask us, not because he wants us to do the miracle, but he wants to see the level of our faith in him. You know, so there are times in our lives that, you know, we are faced with questions like that. Do you think I can do this thing? Do you believe I can heal these people? Do you believe I can heal you? Your answer at that point determines your faith. And we see the answer of Philip, you know, because verse 6 actually says, "But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do." But Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not even sufficient that every one of them may have a little." You know, that answer and response of Philip shows that he did not at any point believe that something miraculous was going to happen at that point. But we thank God for someone like Andrew. Verse 8, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad who has 5 belly loaves and 2 small fish. But what are those among so many?" Even though this guy does not have a very strong faith, he had a little faith. I mean, he was telling God, Jesus, that, "See, we don't have any option, but there is a possibility that these people will not be fed. But there's still one little thing that I think we have. Maybe this would help. Because if it is not faith, what is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish amongst many?" But he still made something. Okay, this is something that I have. That is a statement of faith. No matter how little that thing is, still tell God, "This is the little I have. This is the little I can do." So, for instance, God is asking you to go and apply for the job. The job you're applying for does not make sense. It is too much. Is way bigger than your certificate, way bigger than your qualifications. But you can still tell God and say, "God, this is the only thing I have. I mean, it's just my BSc. There is nothing else I can do. I mean, there is nothing else I have that can qualify me for this job. But this is the little thing I have." That little thing is what God wants to see. They ask the widow, "What do you have in your house?" The old man could have said, "I have nothing." Because what she has is actually nothing. But she said, "Well, there is something a little I have. There is something very little that I have. And that thing is just a jar of oil. But that jar of oil is sufficient." So that little thing in your hand, stop counting it as nothing. That little boy was what was needed on that day. And that was what Jesus used to bless the multitude. You know, so don't trivialize those little things that God has given to you. Those little things, don't trivialize them. They are exactly the things that God needs to bless you. Those are the things that God needs to increase you. So submit that little thing into God's hand and we multiply it. Hallelujah. And then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." And I want us to pick one lesson from that. Do you know that when you see a crowd, a massive crowd, and you see them really, really massive, all standing up, there's a way you'll be so scared that these guys are so many. But by the time they sit down, they will look like they are not really many as such. I mean, it is just a little of them. I mean, there's a way that massive problem becomes so small when you make that problem to sit down. When you just tell that thing, sit down, relax. So whenever you are faced with a massive problem, relax, sit down. Tell yourself, sit down, relax. And then look at that thing again with a second look. Then you will see that that thing that you are thinking is massive is actually nothing before God. So there is a way, by the time those people sat down, Jesus Christ and the disciples would have thought, well, it's a massive crowd, but then we can do something. Something can be done. You know, let that thing that is shouting, let it keep his mouth shut in your life. Sometimes the noises around you is what makes you feel that that problem is so massive. What you need to do is go back to your closet, relax, take a second look on that problem, and then you will see that that thing is actually nothing before God. Praise the name of the Lord. And then after they sat down, the Bible says that, you know, Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples and the disciples to those sitting down. And likewise, the fish. So when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather the fragments. So the first thing is Jesus gave thanks. And that's the gateway to receiving, you know, whatever it is you're trusting God for. The first thing you should do is to what? To give thanks to God. If you give thanks to God for what he has done today, then he will do another tomorrow. It's a very simple mathematics. You remember the story of the 10 lepers? They all got the miracle, but one of them came back and then he became whole. So it was like what sealed the miracle of that man is actually the fact that he came back to give thanks to God. So give thanks to God before you eat, before you do anything, whatever it is you're doing, before you even make your request known to God. Always learn to give him thanks. I pray the Lord will help us to do this in Jesus' mighty name. And then finally, still on the miracle, Jesus told them to gather the fragments. See, it's a very simple lesson. Don't waste food. Don't waste your talent. Don't waste the resources that God has committed into your hands. Even as small as food, as small as food. Whatever it is that is left, keep it. Warm it later and eat it. It is very wrong for you to waste things. Don't waste your money on frivolities, on things that you don't need. You know you don't need that thing, but you just want to spend your money. You just want to waste that money. So you were given the resources and you blow the resources off. You know, don't waste the resources that God has committed into your hands. So verse 15, therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. You know the reason why these guys wanted to make Jesus king? Because of the bread that he just multiplied. So they thought, if we make this man king, we'll just be having multiplication of bread every day. And then Jesus knew that he was not supposed to be the king of a particular region. He was supposed to be the king of the world. He was not tempted by this offer. What he did was what? He withdrew himself, ran away from that promotion. It is not every promotion that is from God. Anytime they promote you, ask, be sure that this is coming from God. That promotion that was coming here was never from God. It wasn't the intention of God for Jesus to become king and then die. The intention of God was that Jesus would die first and then he would become the king. So, but then he wanted glory was about to come before death. It is never in the agenda of God for you to get glory before death. It is first death and then glory. You have to die to yourself first. You have to die to sin. And then at the end of the day, God will lift you up. So Jesus Christ knew this was a bait. It is not every promotion that you should grab. He ran away from this and then he went to the mountain by himself alone. Hallelujah. You know, so then the disciples went on the sea, verse 18. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when he had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea. Why? Because he had spent time on the mountain. That problem, if you want to walk on it, you see, I like to tell people that as believers, we must learn to be proactive. What does it mean to be proactive? Don't pray when there is a challenge. Pray before the challenge comes. This is the order. So before the storm came, Jesus had spent time on the mountain praying and having proper fellowship with God. So when the storm came, it was easy for Jesus to catch up with those that were on the boat, and then he walked on the sea. You see, for you to walk on the sea, for you to walk on that problem, for you to tread upon snakes and scorpions, then you must have spent time in the presence of God. So don't be waiting for issues to happen before you start praying. Pray before that issue happened. Pray for your children now before you start giving birth to them. Pray for your husbands, your wives. Pray for them now that you don't have them. Don't wait until you give birth to your children and then they are sick before you start praying for them. Start praying for them now that they will not be sick. So that by the time that storm comes, all you will be doing by that time is not prayer. You'll just be working on it. And I pray that the Lord will give us the grace to be proactive in Jesus' mighty name. Still again, verse 22, these guys came and they were still, you know, looking for Jesus. Why were they looking for Jesus? They were not looking for Jesus because they loved him. They were looking for Jesus because of the bread. And this is what is happening to most of us. The reason why you love Jesus is not really because you love him. It's because you want protection. You want God to provide for you. You want healing. You want all of this. And that is very wrong. It is a very wrong motive. And I've said this again and again and again. Stop giving God money because you think that you are doing MMM. MMM is I'll give God 100 naira. He will return 1,000 naira to me. We are not doing business with God. You are giving to God because you are blessed. You are giving to God because he has blessed you already, because you love him. Why do you give to your children? If you have given birth, are you giving to your children because your children is doing anything for you? They are not doing anything other than the fact, a baby. What will a baby do to the mother? Nothing. And then you will still feed the baby. This is what we call agape love. Agape love is you love God not because of what God is doing, but because of who he is. This is why you should love God. Not because of the bread you are expecting. Not because of the miracles you want from God. You love him because of who he is. This is what God wants from us. Hallelujah. So stop saying you love God because of the things that you want to get. That is not true love. These guys were pursuing God. They wanted Jesus because you know how we want food now. You know we all like food. You know? And then because of the fact that they saw bread, fish, miracle. And then they were looking for Jesus. Not really because of the fact that they were interested in Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So that encouragement I'm giving, the encouragement I'm giving to everyone listening to me this morning is that love God for who he is, not because of the miracle. Go to church on Sunday, not because you want protection throughout the week from Monday to Saturday before you now go to church. Some of you wake up on a Sunday morning and you are scared. If I don't go to church this week, how will my next week look like? No, that's not the reason why you are going to church. You are going to church because the Bible says that you should not forsake the gathering of the brethren because you love God. This is why you are going to church. Please put this at the back of your mind. So you are not serving God because of the things you want to get from God, but because you just love God. May the Lord give us grace. I'm going to stop here for today. If you want to see more and more lessons, it's in my book. And the book is not out yet, but the book will be out. And then you can learn more things from John chapter 6. Thank you very much for joining today's podcast. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now. Hallelujah.